Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Harmonize with me and hold me tight all through the night. You're shining bright. I'm your oyster, baby. You're my pearl.
William! Dom, I'm sitting 4 feet to your left.
Wearing a pair of shorts because it's roasting hot in Los Angeles.
I just thought I'd give you a treat and let you see my legs.
Lovely, lovely hairy legs. It's so hot in England right now that the runway at Luton Airport melted. And the planes couldn't land.
They've now updated that London has melted.
Amazing. From 40 degrees Celsius, which I think they're saying is breaking records all over the place.
What's that in Fahrenheit?
I think it's pushing into your kind of 103, 104 type vibes. It's hot.
How do you work that? I don't know if it's the right time to get into this, Dom, but I do have problems with centigrade and Fahrenheit.
Right, okay, go on. Because I grew up in Germany where they do centigrade and then I had to move to the United States where they do Fahrenheit.
I think I mix it up because centigrade is the one that goes from 0 to 100, right?
No, that's Fahrenheit.
Really?
Yeah, centigrade is, you know, the top of it is like 40, is roasting hot, whereas obviously in Fahrenheit, 105, 110 is really hot.
So what is boiling water?
100 degrees Celsius.
So that's got nothing to do with centigrade or Fahrenheit.
No, Celsius.
That's another way of taking temperature.
But isn't there a weird thing where isn't 100 degrees centigrade the same as 100 degrees Fahrenheit? There's something
This is what I get confused about.
Someone at home can tell us about this.
Water freezes at 0 degrees.
Celsius.
It boils at 100 degrees Celsius. So when it's 80 degrees here and it's really hot.
It's not that hot, 80 degrees, but yeah, hot.
Like, when it's 92 degrees.
Yeah, yeah.
When that 92 gets to 100, would that boil water?
That's Fahrenheit.
So how
you would need the Celsius, which a hot day in Celsius is like 35.
So that needs to get
to
100 before it'll boil water.
Start boiling water. And I mean, if you're walking around in 100 degrees Celsius, you're dead.
So
it'll boil you as well. We're almost all water.
Because we're 76% water.
Right, right. It is confusing, that thing.
So Celsius is the same as centigrade?
I'm not going to say whether I know that or not. I don't think so.
I have never known you to say that you didn't know something.
Yeah, I don't know. I could guess. Well, let me guess.
All right.
I feel like Celsius.
You sounded like a snake there.
Fahrenheit. I think that Celsius is a way of grading temperature of the air, whereas centigrade is a way of gauging temperature of liquid.
So when liquid becomes air,
what?
When liquid becomes gas,
like you're evaporating, right?
When it becomes gas at 100 degrees, it
Celsius.
Then changes from Celsius to centigrade.
Oh, so we've moved into a strange place here. Anyway, if there's anyone out there that wants to come on the show and talk to us about things like that.
So here's...
Also do this with the Fahrenheit Celsius thing, because in Germany they do centigrade and in the States they do Fahrenheit. I kind of know that 90 degrees Fahrenheit is a hot day in the same way that 30 degrees Celsius is a hot day. And then you can kind of gauge it from there.
And say it was freezing.
Yeah.
See, because do I mix up Fahrenheit and Celsius?
Seems like you did earlier on.
Because I like to talk when it's a hot day. I like saying it's 85. Oh, it's 90 degrees.
Mm.
But when it's a really cold day, I like to say it's freezing. It's 0 degrees.
All right, that's Celsius. Because a really cold day in Fahrenheit would be, you know, in your 40s, something like that.
So I mix them up then.
Yeah, you do.
A hot day Fahrenheit, a cold day Celsius.
All right.
Hot day Fahrenheit.
Cold day Celsius.
Hot day Fahrenheit. Cold day Celsius.
Would it be a meteorologist that comes on to tell us about things like that? Like a educated weatherman or weatherwoman, maybe?
I think that's a good idea, actually.
There's a great line in that okay film with Sandra Bullock about her being a novelist where she asks Brad Pitt, how come he's so handsome? And he says, my father was a weatherman. I thought that was a great line. Because in the United States, most weathermen are quite handsome. Whereas I don't think that's the same in Britain, is it? I mean,
I don't think so.
You wouldn't say Michael Fish or John Ketley was like, you know.
There was a weatherman in Scotland and he won a sort of America's Got Talent, except it was the world's got weathermen. And all the weathermen of the world did a competition to become the weatherman in LA and he won it.
But is that, how would they, are they grading it on his expertise with rain and moisture in the air and temperature, or is it how handsome he is?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Peeling the onion.
Well, should we do some housekeeping?
Housekeeping! How much fun are you to keep a house so clean and true? Dominic, I like this one.
Go on, you read it then.
This was a top Reddit comment yesterday.
I love Reddit.
And it was somebody, and I tried to explain this to you before you came on, before we came on, and you didn't quite get it. So I'm going to try and explain it better.
Yeah, be succinct.
So someone says, my partner wrongly thought that I'd never seen Lord of the Rings. So he wanted to do a marathon of the extended editions.
Mm-hmm.
But then this person thought, what can I say to him while we're watching that will really annoy him? Because he thinks I've never seen it, but I have seen it.
All right.
So I'll give you one thing here, Dom. Somebody said, who's called Shirabiru05 says, when you're watching it with your partner who thinks you've never seen it, says, as soon as someone else, a new character comes on the screen, say, do they want the ring too?
Yeah, I like
every
that.
Time a new character comes, Elrond, does he want the ring too?
Yeah, I like that.
Treebeard, like does he want the ring?
I mean, they all kind of want the ring, but some less so, right?
That was a bit nerdy.
But it is true.
That was a bit geeky. You went a bit deep there.
Like Gandalf and Galadriel and these quote-unquote good people, yeah. Elrond, even Treebeard, they all kind of are drawn to the ring, but they're aware that they shouldn't, right?
Who's the one character who's not in the movie that kind of didn't really want the ring, didn't care?
Is it Tom?
Tom Bombadil.
Good old Tomo.
Give us another one, Dom.
Well, Nick Sabanisia Hobbit. What? Is that right? Anyway, hi Nick,
so.
Said, you are 100% convinced that Sam is actually a bad guy who's going to betray Frodo. For the moment Gandalf catches his spine, you've got a really bad feeling about him. That's a good one. Oh, he's the bad one. Be careful of him.
As soon as I saw him, I knew he's going to be a baddie.
You could switch it as well. You could be like, I like that Gollum.
He's going to save the day.
Which in a way.
In some ways he did.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you what, Scratchy Ballsack said.
Oh, yeah. Hot weather.
Scratchy Ballsack said, is this a spin-off from those Hobbit movies?
Kind of.
That would annoy a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think that's good. Anyone else have something good that you could say to pretend you've never seen the movies if you were watching it with someone? What is something funny that you could say?
Yeah, send it to us.
To FriendshipOnion@castmedia.com. That's cast with a K.
Yeah, we'll put all the information as to how to get in touch with us in the show notes because I forget now that I'm getting old.
Oh, I know everything. If you want to get the merchandise, which is fantastic, by the way.
Yeah,
it makes
love
you
the
very
hoodies.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Love the hoodies.
I was just drinking a coffee from the mug today.
Oh, nice.
And it tasted good.
Yeah, nice.
Then you can get that at thefriendshiponionpodcast.com. You can leave a voicemail.
Yeah.
At speakpipe.com/thefriendshiponion.
Oh, wow, you're good. We also have a YouTube channel, which is The Friendship Onion.
I don't know that one.
I think it's The Friendship Onion. And if you rate, review, and subscribe, it means we can keep making more. I was just thinking, in terms of one of these things, when it all gets hectic for Frodo, you could say, he should put his watch on. Put the watch on. That'd freak people out. Hey, yeah. Do you ever mess with Reddit? I really like Reddit.
I don't really know.
Reddit's great. So for someone like you, mm-hmm. let's say, because currently you're really into surfing.
Right.
You could go onto Reddit, mm-hmm. have your own little account, and up the top bar there, you just write in the thing that you're interested in. Let's say, for instance, right now, surfing tips.
Uh-huh.
So you put in surfing tips, and it'll just show you a whole bunch of forums. So it could be like one sentence surfing tips or videos on surfing tips, and then you just follow them, and you can keep checking them out. So for me, I have like crazy animal trivia, League of Legends advice, cooking tips. It's really good, man. I think you'd like Reddit.
Is it just reddit.com?
Yeah, it's an app. Get the app.
Oh, is that an app?
Yeah, free app.
Okay.
Should we do a little League of Legends update? There's a new champion.
Hey?
There's a new champion.
You mean my sister?
Yeah, well, your sister is playing. We'll get into that in a second, right. Which is very exciting news. But there's a new champion that our friend Andrew played.
She's got a whip.
She's called Nyla, and she has a whip. I've not played her yet, but she looks good.
I've not played her yet.
Like a kind of female Aladdin, if you will.
I would say the last 2 months, I've been Heimerdinger crazy.
I think you need to get off Heimerdinger.
I can't.
You're starting to get fully addicted to that one champion, and what if he gets banned?
Well, what about yesterday?
The song.
No.
Beautiful. He dreamt it, you know.
No, they
scrambled eggs. Yeah, go on.
I played him in a different skin, at least.
Oh, yeah. Pool party, Heimerdinger.
Pool party rather than alien.
You are very good at Heimerdinger. Probably the best you've ever played a champion. But I do think now you're moving into complacency land. Because you're so good at him. You're just like, yeah, turret there, throw a grenade, do my thing. And I want you to be challenged.
Do you know what's really nice about complacency land?
Go on.
It's comfortable.
Yeah, it's easy, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's easy. There's a new, well, not new, but they brought back a mode that we like where you have two ultimates. Played that the other night. And they've got like different animated cannon minions. But your sister, Margaret, let's talk about that. So she was watching the other night. And
she's here visiting.
She was charmed by your gameplay.
Whenever I play it, she gets a chair. Doesn't matter what she's doing. She could be sitting in the front room watching Chopped, which she loves.
Oh, I love Chopped too. You're Chopped. You're out.
Get out. You're Chopped. That's rubbish.
Yeah, get out.
She can be watching that. She'll pull a chair in.
Brilliant.
Without an invitation.
I wish I had a friend that would watch me play League of Legends.
She pulls it in and she sits there and then she tells me if somebody's coming on the map.
Oh,
watch out! Watch out!
You need that.
Have you got the freeze?
Mm.
You know when you've got that little thing where you can freeze yourself?
Zhonya's
hourglass.
Yeah.
Use the freeze,
yeah,
you say.
Yeah, a stopwatch.
Right at the start of the game when I haven't bought anything.
Oh, just...
So she had a little game.
Well, just to go back a second, right. As youngsters,
yeah.
Was your sister into video games, computer games?
As you know, Dom, I was very into my Atari.
Mm.
And I don't remember Margaret really being into the Atari. Mm. She's never really been a gamer, really.
Right.
But this is good for our guest today, isn't it?
Yeah.
We'll get into this later on with our fantastic guest.
Our fantastic secret special guest.
So, I think at one point, I think she had a friend who had a PlayStation, and I think they played like the James Bond game for a little bit.
Oh, GoldenEye.
Yeah, I think so.
I feel like that was kind of weird. Nintendo 64.
Was it? Well, we can ask our guest later on.
Some version of that. Well, that's good. I mean, she might have just been so charmed by the way that you play League of Legends, which is gleeful, and also little Heimerdinger. How can you not like Heimerdinger? He's adorable.
He's lovely. 42?
42.
Hey, another little game thing here,
oh, yeah,
which really plays well for today. I feel as if John has he organised this?
Oh, he's organised it. No.
When he's organised this, Johnny Clues, he's organised it well for today. Which is good because normally it's completely random.
Where does this quote come from? One of these days I'm going to get organised.
I don't know.
It's from Taxi Driver. Go on.
Well done.
Mm-hmm.
Who says it?
Travis Bickle.
Well done.
Robert De Niro.
Dave from Michigan says, or Michigan. He says, Dom, you've mentioned that you love Skyrim. And Billy previously mentioned that he's been playing Elder Scrolls Online.
No.
I was wondering if you happen to have seen the Skyrim mode that was recently released that enables players to play co-op Skyrim. Maybe you can convince Elijah and Sean to play, and the boys can gallivant around Skyrim together.
A little cough there through my nervousness. I think, unfortunately, we probably have to just give up on Elijah and Sean playing video games.
No, we're never giving up.
I mean, we flew back from a convention, the three of us, and Elijah and I sat next to each other on the plane because we tend to, like, stay up and chat and talk silly.
I can't be bothered talking.
You like a glass of wine and a nap, don't you?
I can't be bothered talking. You know what I mean? We talk all the time.
We've talked it out. I like a gin and tonic and a good old chat. A chin wag. But anyway, Elijah pulled out his Switch.
Hey?
It's a gaming system.
All right.
And we were playing games backwards and forwards and stuff. And I said to Elijah, I was like, man, because I know Elijah loves games. I was like, man, if you still love games and you still play games, you've got to get on this League of Legends thing.
I know.
He's like, I didn't really like it.
Do you think he's just doing it because we want him to do it? And he won't do it?
No, he's not like that, Elijah, though, is he? He's not contrary.
Maybe he is.
Maybe he's become contrary as he's become a father. Who knows? But I feel like it's time to kind of give it up.
No.
And then in terms of the Skyrim thing, well... See, now I think this is a complementary element of your personality, Bills, and then you could also look at it as potentially detrimental at times. You tend to jump around to different things quite often.
No.
I don't know of that many things that you stick with that you're actually into.
We'll
give you examples of things that you stick with. No, because I
No, can't. Things that I jump around.
Well, like, you know, martial arts. No, you don't do it anymore.
I did that for like 20 years, Dom.
Football.
I mean, I wouldn't say that jumping around.
Wow. Football.
Football I really played from I was much. 6 till I broke my knee.
Surfing.
Surfing
comes and
I did
goes.
20 years ago and I'm still doing it.
Star Trek, like you watch
Star
it.
Star Trek,
then you
I've watched
watch
it since I was 6 and I still watch it.
So I think I've made a good point.
Good point, Dom.
What I'm saying is, I don't think you'll commit to playing Skyrim.
I will commit as soon as I start, which could be tonight because you're coming to my house.
Yeah, but we're only got one video game player though.
We'll set up mine and then we'll set up yours.
I just get the feeling that you'll be into it for a little bit and then you'll move on like you are with most things. In your
like Star Trek.
Yeah, like surfing. Maybe I'm using reverse psychology there, Bills. You just don't know.
Oh, I love that sound. You like that sound?
I love it.
It makes me smile.
Mm.
It's the sound of another sale on Shopify, the all-in-one commerce platform to start, run, and grow your business.
Shopify gives entrepreneurs the resources once reserved for big businesses. So upstarts, startups, and established businesses alike can sell everywhere, synchronize online and in-person sales, and effortlessly stay informed. Scaling your business is a journey of endless possibility.
Just like our business, our podcast, well, Shopify powers millions of businesses from first sale to full scale. You can reach customers online and across social networks with an ever-growing suite of channel integrations and apps, including Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Pinterest, and there's many more, Tom. This is possibility powered by Shopify.
Go to shopify.com/onion, all lowercase, for a free 14-day trial and get full access to Shopify's entire suite of features. Grow your business with Shopify today. Go to shopify.com/onion right now. Shopify.com/onion. Now, you've heard me talk about how important it is to have a VPN to protect your online privacy. Billy and I have been lucky enough to be traveling all around the United States doing jobs and doing these conventions, staying in hotels, traveling through airports. Every time we're in there, we remind each other, hey, are you using ExpressVPN?
Get your ExpressVPN. So easy to do. You just press one button and that's you protected.
Mm-hmm.
And ExpressVPN doesn't log your activity online. Lots of cheap or free VPNs, they make money by selling your data to advertisers. But ExpressVPN doesn't do this. They even developed a technology, trusted server, that makes their VPN servers incapable of storing any data at all.
Mm.
And number two, speed. ExpressVPN uses Lightweight, a new VPN protocol they engineered to make users' speeds faster than ever. I've tried a lot of VPNs and it works an absolute treat.
The last thing that really sets ExpressVPN apart is how easy it is to use. I am not good with technology. Billy will tell you that.
True.
You don't need any technical skills to set it up. Just fire up the app, tap one button, it goes from red to green, and you're in. That's it. Even your grandparents could do it.
So protect yourself with the VPN that we use and trust. Use our link, expressvpn.com/onion today, and get an extra 3 months free on a 1 year package.
Wow.
That's 3 months free on a 1 year package. That's expressvpn.com/onion. Visit expressvpn.com/onion to learn more.
Hey, we should throw out a little bit of info about these upcoming conventions that we're doing, because we've only got two left.
Now, I don't know when this one comes out, Tom.
Well, let's cover ourselves and say both. John's right. Giving us the thumbs up there.
Right.
So coming up next, a wonderful visit to Boston.
Boston, Colorado. No? Boston. I don't know what state that is.
It's in the good old state of Boston.
Boston's in Boston? Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not. Boston, Illinois.
Boston. Long Island.
Long Island, near Rhode Island. All the islands are near each other.
It's on the East Coast.
East Coast, near New York, Boston. We're doing a live Friendship Onion on Sunday. The
Boston Convention
14th. The 14th.
I can find it.
I'll tell you what it is. Boston, on the 14th of August, we're doing a live Friendship Onion. Get your tickets at the link below.
Hey, you're right. I just checked. You're right.
I know.
And then 2 weeks after that, we actually leave the country. We leave the United States of USA.
The first international The Friendship Onion podcast live.
And we head to Toronto, which the locals say, Toronto.
Toronto.
Toronto. And we're doing another live Friendship Onion podcast on the 28th of August. And you can get all of your ticket information and you can buy it at Fan Expo and then put in the city that we're going to. So Fan Expo, Boston, Fan Expo, Toronto. We'll be eating local food. We'll be singing and dancing.
Great fun. All this stuff that you like in a Friendship Onion.
Maybe a tongue twister, maybe a riddle.
We're doing it live. So, here's a question, Dom.
Oh,
I'm going to actually quiz you here.
Oh, good. And I like a quiz.
Because I don't know if you know the answer to this. It's not states in Canada. There's no states in Canada. It's not United States of Canada. What is the areas called?
Provinces.
How many are there?
Do you know?
And can you name them?
Because I'll just say this about Billy, and he does this all the time. Billy will ask a question, and he'll make out like he knows the answer. And if you get the answer right, he'll go, yes. And if you say, I don't know the answer, what is it? He'll go, I don't know. So I'm going to ask him now, do you know the answer? Yes. Okay, good.
I know some of them.
Do you?
Yeah.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
I mean, Canada's a very big country, but I think the provinces are way bigger than the United States, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to make a guess of 17.
I'm going to say less.
Wow.
I'm going to say 7.
Wow. There's some big provinces.
Johnny Clues. How many provinces are in the country of Canada?
Okay. I didn't even know that they were called provinces, so I got to Google this.
Provinces, yeah. Indeed.
While he's Googling it, let's try and name them. Do you know any?
British Columbia.
Nice. Nova Scotia.
Great. You've been to that one.
Yeah.
Saskatchewan? Or
maybe.
Is that a city? Don't know.
Quebec?
That might be a city as well.
Quebecois. Quebecois.
Oh, maybe you're right. Maybe that is a province.
I think it's, yeah.
Well, where French is Montreal? Columbia. What part of...
That was Quebec. French-speaking Canada.
Yeah.
And then what's the West Coast? What would the West Coast be?
Like where Toronto is?
No, further. That other place.
Oh, no, closer to
what's
us.
What's it called? With the
That's
island?
East Coast, right?
West Coast Island?
Baffin.
No.
Oh.
Well, they make a lot of TV shows there now. The CW shows.
Vancouver?
Yes.
Yeah, that's British Columbia.
That's British Columbia.
That's how I knew it. John knows the answer.
There are 10 provinces.
I was closer.
And there's actually also 3 territories.
Oh.
Well, that gets up to you're closer.
Yeah.
Give us the 10.
But I have to... Okay.
Oh, God. Here we go.
Come on, Johnny.
Okay. On the spot here. All right. Here we go. Starting from... the northwest, I'll go counterclockwise.
Mm-hmm. Good idea.
First one, Yukon.
Yukon.
Right.
Second one, British Columbia.
Right, you got that one.
Number 3, Alberta.
Alberta,
Canada.
Number 4, Saskatchewan.
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 Number 5, Manitoba.
Never got that one. Manitoba.
Number 6, Ontario.
Ontario.
Yeah, been there.
Number 7, Quebec.
Quebecois.
Okay, this is where it gets confusing because I don't know which ones of these are territories versus provinces. I think this is a province. New Brunswick.
Yes, it is.
Nova Scotia.
Yes, it is.
Billy's been.
Prince Edward Island.
Yes, it is.
Newfoundland.
Newfoundland.
Mm.
Nunavut.
Oh. None of it.
None of it. I don't know the provinces, and I'll have none of it.
Yeah.
Newfoundland.
Northwest Territories.
Thank you. Thank you, John.
John.
But that last one was kind of a bummer of a naming.
Well, it's incredible.
No, it's good. Well done.
All right. Well, let's bring on our fantastic guest.
After us talking about games a lot today, which I'm enjoying, to be honest, Dom, we have a fantastic guest who knows a lot about retro games and retro computing and all those kind of things. And I'm going to have a go at the second name.
Please.
Clint Basinger.
Mm.
What do you think? He's basically the guy behind Lazy Game Reviews. Hello, Clint.
Greetings.
How are you?
I am doing just fine. How are you?
Very good.
Well, good, man.
Do you want to do a little introduction to Clint?
Yeah, Clint.
Where do you hear this, Clint?
I'll do a little blurb about you, and then you can maybe fill in the gaps because it's a 4-line summation of Clint's entire life, and I think there's more to the man than that.
Well, give us the 4 lines and give us it in a style that will make us fall in love with both you and Clint.
Oh, okay. I'll try my best. Here we go, Clint. Clint Basinger is the guy behind Lazy Game Reviews, a YouTube show that began in 2009, dedicated to revisiting retro technology in the history of computing. It has a micro compressor. Hang on. What has a micro?
If it has a microprocessor.
I've ruined it.
It messed up. That was only 4 lines.
I'm backing up. Hang on. Here we go, Clint. If it has a micro processor, a keyboard, and comes in beige or wood grain, chances are it'll be an LGR thing at some point. Clint Basinger, ladies and gentlemen. Hi, Clint.
Hello. Wonderful. Welcome, Lazy
Greetings.
Game Reviews. How are you?
Yes. Yeah, I'm doing just fine. Great to be here.
Tell us what you've been doing this morning, and please tell us you've been playing Galaxia and Defender and having a great time.
I was actually just playing Galaga yesterday on a recently sort of reassembled arcade machine of mine. But today it's been mostly recording footage for random computer stuff that I know I'm going to cover at some point. I just don't know when.
So you like computers, Clint, and you like games, but you have more of a... I'm going to drop a little French word here, if you don't mind. Penchant. For old school games, Atari-type vibe. Is that the idea?
Yes, yeah. Pretty much, sort of as the summary said, if it has a wood grain on it, like an old Atari, I've actually got one right there behind me in the screen.
Oh.
And then, an Apple II over there, and, you know, anywhere from... sort of 1978 to 1998. That's kind of the really Goldilocks zone for my interests, I would say.
Will you play modern games, or are you just not into the modern game thing?
Yeah, I'm very much into the modern stuff too. It's kind of the goal, I guess, of my own channel and just covering the kind of older stuff is looking at where we've been and then comparing that, contrasting that, and following the history of that to where we are now. And then, you know, whenever it makes sense to go into the more modern stuff, either on the channel or on my own, yeah, that's fun too, because it's all about context.
So what is the name of the Atari with the wood grain and the cartridges?
So that original one, 1977, was the Atari Video Computer System, more well known probably as the 2600.
26. Well, here's my story of that one, Clint. That was my childhood, that gaming system. And I had relatives who lived in Detroit.
Michigan.
And obviously, I grew up in Scotland. So the little cartridges with the games, you know, Space Invader, whatever, were expensive. Say they were, as a guest, Dom, they were £15.
Is that for, are you considering inflation there or not?
I'm not considering anything. I just threw a number out there.
Because £15 doesn't seem that expensive to me.
But back in 1977.
So you're not considering inflation.
Say they were £15.
Mm.
When you go to Detroit, Michigan, they were like £2. And I remember every time I went to Detroit, we'd buy all the games. But most of them wouldn't work. When you put it in the cartridge into the machine, but here's what I did, Clint. If you opened up the, and maybe you can explain this to me why this would be. If you opened up the box and took out the actual chip, like when you flicked open the box, it was basically just like a piece of plastic and a kind of shape like that that would open up the thing. And then it had like a little chip. So if I put that plastic in and then just put the chip in, then the game would work.
Wow, how'd you work that out? Well, you just get frustrated one day and try it.
I must have done, because amazing. Obviously there wasn't internet. No one told me how to do that.
Incredible.
But it, like the first time I brought them home, it wouldn't work. And then somehow I managed, I don't know how I knew that. And I opened up. So I had all the games were just little chips. What do you think of that, Clint?
That sounds actually pretty reasonable. It's not far off from what you might do to get it working now, because it's all about making physical contact between those little gold leaf edges that it has on there. And you need to get proper friction and, you know, a bit of a continuity between the electronics of the game console and the electronics, the chips and everything inside that connects straight through this little edge connector. And there's only so many pins on that connector. And if not every single one of them was exactly in there, so sometimes you bend things out of shape, sometimes you stuff things in there, people would blow in there, and you'd try all kinds of
hair
things
dryers
just to get them to work.
At one point, someone would say, if it's not working, just put a hot hair dryer on it.
But, that gaming system for years of my childhood was just, when you got a new game, I can feel the feeling just now, the excitement of getting that cartridge, a new cartridge, and
And what was your what was the toppermost of the poppermost?
I mean, I love Space Invaders, and I seem to remember it had 132 different versions, which was basically 132 versions of the same game.
Yeah.
Some of the versions were just crazy. One of the controllers would move it left, the other one would move it right, and just stupid versions of the same game.
Space Invaders is the one where you've got the little barriers above and you have to hide.
Yeah, and it chunk, 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 chunk,
and they get lower and lower.
Chunk, 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 chunk.
Yeah,
I love that.
Fueling.
I loved Adventure when we first got it. That seemed like cutting edge when that came out. But I'm getting really excited about this because I've taken myself back to my childhood here, Clint. But before I got the Atari, I remember going to the stores to try the game. And one of the stores was quite a high-end electric store. And they had a gaming system called Activision.
Perhaps the Intellivision. Yeah, Intellivision had some fantastic sports games, including soccer games.
I wonder if in Britain it was called Activision. There's a question for you, Clint.
Mm.
Maybe
I actually don't know. I have an Intellivision right here. Just
it look like that, Phil?
That's the bugger. That's the bugger with the spinning thing.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Well, did you have one of those
as well?
No. I remember the Atari cost 100. That's it. Wow. The Atari cost 100 and the Activision or Intellivision cost 200.
Ooh.
And my mum just would not go to 200. And I remember, oh, the thought of having that gaming system in your house.
But then you'd have two. You'd be spoiled.
No, it was one or the other, Dom.
Oh, I didn't have either.
What did you have?
Didn't have any.
You didn't have a gaming system?
Didn't have a gaming system.
That's probably why you're so into gaming now.
Probably. But I think my brother was into computers more than me. And the first time we didn't get a gaming system, but we got a computer because my dad said, well, you can use it for school as well. I think I was probably 13 or something like that.
What computer was that? Do you know?
Spectrum Plus 3. Do you know what that is, Clint?
Yeah, made Sinclair, the Sir Clive Sinclair's systems. They had all those, the ZX Spectrums, the 48K, and the Plus 1, Plus 3,
the
128.
The Plus 2 was a cassette, and the Plus 3 was a floppy disk or a compact disk, which was like really
ZX81, was that the first one?
There was the ZX80, I believe, was their first. It was like a slightly... I mean, they were both really, really primitive, but that one in particular, yeah, it had that one in 1980, and then 81 was the ZX81. Those both came kind of back to back before moving on to the Spectrum, and that's when they added color.
Right, so, yeah, exactly. Well, with all of these options out there currently, Clint, in the gaming arena, which has exploded, not only, you know, with what we've all gone through with everyone being in isolation, but just the advances in computer science and stuff, and you finding a real kind of charm in that era of gaming, for someone who doesn't play games, how would you pitch those type of games when nowadays the technology allows you to, you know, experience incredible worlds and incredible graphics and sounds and stuff, and clearly these games are a little bit more rudimentary, but what's the charm in those games for you?
A lot of the charm definitely comes from a mixture of imagination and then just not having as much to worry about visually or sound-wise or control-wise or anything. Often it was just one button and a joystick and that was about it. So if you were maybe in the mood for something that's much more pick up and play, you can just jump in and jump out within 5 minutes and have your good fill of that title. And I say that that's one of my go-tos constantly for, you know, things like Galaga or any of these Atari games and television games, because you don't have to commit too much to them. And increasingly, for me anyway, you know, you end up with less and less time as life goes on in some cases. So if you just need a quick fix, it's often a great way to do that. But, you know, there's also just the imagination factor of having these such simple worlds to explore, like Adventure, you were mentioning, that one can get your attention, you know, just going through these extremely simple mazes, but you start filling in the dots and all of a sudden that block is a person and that other little thing is a sword and that other bit is a magical treasure. And if you let yourself let go, perhaps it's a fun escape.
And finding the Easter eggs in Adventureland, in Adventure, is obviously great as well, you know. I remember my brother had a little Miss Pac-Man arcade machine that was about this big. It only played Miss Pac-Man. And we got so good at it that to clear the screen, we would eat all of the pills, apart from the magic pills, which turned the ghosts into things that Pac-Man could eat. So then you'd go and you'd hit all four of the magic pills and then chase the ghosts and kill them all before the next level. And I tried that recently and I couldn't get anywhere near to completing the screen and keeping the things there. So it's crazy what you get good at as a little kid.
Yeah, yeah. You practice something, you get good at it.
Yeah. What about that game? Do you remember
nothing else.
Yeah, exactly. Do you remember the Olympics game where you had to like waggle the joystick backwards and forwards and then when you're running you have to tap them both next to each other? Oh, breaking your nails and stuff.
And see, I was watching your show, The Lazy Game Review, and you were you got an old, I think it was a, no, it wasn't a Galaga. It was the one where you fly through I forget the name of it now. But
the one I recently got, I got a Redden 2 machine.
Redden, that's right, yeah. Well, see those machines, because I think that watching you do it, there's obviously a sort of joy in looking back historically. Oh, this is this machine from that time, and that came from Japan, and blah, blah. And I was wondering when I was watching it, because certainly when I was watching it, you didn't open it up. How much of that machine had anything in it?
Very little. For the most part, yeah, those arcade machines, you'll get a board that's, you know, maybe as big as like a placemat or something. It's not very much. And then that's going to run the entire machine. Most of it is just empty. There's wood surrounding, and then there's the monitor, speakers, and some basic input controls. But, you know, if it's it's just a lot of wood, primarily.
But just the joy of seeing that shape, isn't it?
Mm.
Like from when you used to go to an arcade and there'd be a brand new game there, you know, Asteroids or something, and basically they just made these boxes and then fitted other games into it. Is that right?
That's correct, yeah. Especially the one that I happened to pick up was a Dynamo HS5 from 1988. And they used that thing all throughout into the mid to late 90s. And just, if you were an arcade operator, you would buy this cabinet from the manufacturer or game publisher or somebody like that. And it might come with something in it, or you could just get them completely empty. And they're really just meant almost like a modern PC, where you just get the case and then you put whatever you want to in there.
Yeah.
So instead of that, being able to run a lot of different things in there, you might have one game or two games at most that you could run. And then you just swap the boards out. Everything else mostly remained the same.
And how much would something like that cost?
Also, how much is that doggy in the window?
What, the one with the waggly tail?
Yeah, let's find that out too at the same time.
No, like if I say I wanted a Galaga, which I'm sure was called Galaxia. And
was it?
There were two of them, yeah.
Galaxian was that the same game?
A couple of years before Galaga. It's the same developer and everything, so they're very, very similar. But,
very similar.
Oh, yeah.
And I did watch you playing that, and you look very skilled, to be honest, Clint.
Now, what's the difference between Space Invaders and Galaga? Space Invaders got the little barriers. What's Galaga?
Galaga, they come and they're like this, and then they come at you.
And you're
three at a time.
You're in a ship that can move.
Yeah, you can go up a bit and come back a bit. But you're getting
a little
in between.
They got the space bugs. It's more bug-shaped things coming down from space. Yeah.
I think that's harder than Space Invaders.
It's actually more fun as well.
Is it?
But how much would that cost, say? Say I wanted one of them for the house. I'm just wondering,
so
because my birthday's coming up and my good friend Dominic is on my right.
I'm very generous.
So the most recent Galaga cabinet that I saw was selling for $1,400.
Oh, no. I was thinking of getting you like a pair of socks or something like that.
$1,400 doesn't seem much for my joy.
I think maybe for your 70th. Yeah,
you could buy back your childhood, right? You could fulfill the wishes of being your own arcade owner, and you can even get, you can create your own tokens, for instance, and insert those in there. You could have your face
on
a token.
Well, I'll buy you the tokens. Just... How about that? You get the machine, I'll get the tokens.
Because we used to do that, Clint, me and my friends. We had to get a bus to the arcade, and we'd have a pound each. We actually called it going for a pound shuffle.
Oh, lovely.
And we go and we take that pound and we get 10 P's and I got you 10 games.
10 goes, yeah.
And then that's us back home again on the bus.
Well, that's a lot of fun.
And it was wonderful. What about Centipede? I'd like to have a Centipede game. That was a great game.
Yeah. Is it different from the human Centipede game?
Yeah, no, we don't want to play that game.
Doesn't have any correlation between the film. I'm just checking.
No, but that was a good game. What year was that, Clint?
I want to say it was 82, but I would have to check on that. They were all sort of between 1980 to 83 is what we've mostly been discussing here.
Is that like Snake? Are you linking together little pieces and you're getting bigger and bigger?
No, you're shooting a centipede. You know, a centipede is made from all lots of little bits. You want to shoot all the bits.
Oh.
And before he leaves, I don't know, is that mushrooms he leaves? I don't know.
Mushrooms?
Yeah.
I like
little
centipedes.
Mushrooms and little spiders floating around trying to get you and stuff. So.
Oh, it's a shame.
That was a killer
invertebrates.
Where 80 to 83 seems to be my sweet spot, huh, for games.
Mm.
That was also, you know, when the Atari and television were really going crazy, and that's when the games were the cheapest, at least here in the U.S., because they were creating so many of them that the video game industry almost completely disappeared, and they crashed in 83, at least here.
Do you have the E.T. game, Clint?
I sure do. Certainly. You have to have that.
Consistently thought of as the worst computer game of all time.
Is that the game that destroyed Atari?
It's often the most go-to kind of scapegoat scapegoat title. It's maybe, you know, just a symptom of a very much larger problem that was happening, but it was, yeah, it's certainly not a great game, let's put it that way.
Mm. And a great movie, unfortunately, so they don't correlate. If we fast forward through into like the not too distant past, have you played the Lord of the Rings games, Clint?
Many of them, yes.
Mm. Any ones in particular that stand out? Because I played the one, I think I played the Return of the King game more than
that's the one
else.
That we're in.
The Return of the King was the one that my brother and I played the most. We had a co-op, you know, we'd both get a controller and just go through there, you know. I think it was usually Aragorn and Gimli playing. But you know, we were just going through, and that one, I had the most fun with that one. And also the Battle for Middle-Earth games. Those were my other favorites, the strategy titles. So.
Oh, I've not played those, but I did like the Return of the King game. And yeah, we're like bonus characters, right? Yeah. So if you complete the game, you unlock us, I think.
Did you ever play as us, Clint?
I wish. No, but I don't remember that being an option. So it would make sense if you were an unlockable instead.
Yeah,
well, you could go back and do that if you want. Yeah. If you want to enjoy your weekend.
I think I would definitely have to do that at some point. It's a nice little extra bonus for completion.
We have expert stone throwing skills in that game.
And that's about all, really.
Mm.
Yeah.
Now, what about League of Legends? Because I don't know if you know, but Billy and I play League of Legends quite a lot. Have you ever played League of Legends?
I never have. No, for me, it was always, you know, like Battle for Middle Earth was sort of the real-time strategy era that I was really into, sort of in the early 2000s. And then from what I gather, League of Legends is less real-time strategy and more like individual characters as opposed to large groups of armies, right? So I've never really played that one.
It's basically Capture the Flag.
Yeah, with little champions. So what got you interested and involved in sort of more retro? Is it? Were you the same as me? Were you a huge lover of it at the time and then just thought, I'll go back and revisit?
Yeah, it kind of, it started that way and then it sort of grew out of control and now I'm surrounded by it everywhere. It really began with, you know, just remembering these things from childhood, seeing them at friends' houses, cousins' houses, and playing them there, but never really having much at home. And then, you know, seeing things in stores and always, you know, it was just out of reach and, you know, could maybe afford a couple of games a year for the PC primarily. I grew up as a computer gamer, but yeah, as I got a little older and you know, started making my own money, and occasionally I would find old computers at thrift stores primarily, and the games to go along with them. And that was back when they were still more affordable. You know, you could get a computer for a couple of bucks as opposed to hundreds now. So the retro scene has really exploded, but thankfully I got into it before it did any of that. And now, yeah, it's turned into a career talking about them.
Well, yeah, because I'm looking at your channel and it's huge. It shows you the interest that people really want to watch this stuff and learn about it.
Mm.
I will give you 1,000 points, which is quite a lot of points in this game.
Oh, yeah.
1,000 points if you have my first computer and 500 points if you even know what it is. Clint, my first computer was called a Dragon 32.
Yes, I actually have a one that they released it here as the Tano Dragon. And it's the same thing. Nice kind of beigey cream case with black keys and starts up with a sort of a green background and everything for where you could type in to load programs and such. Yeah, here it was the Tano Dragon. It was a Welsh computer, if I recall. So,
Welsh computer.
1,000 points.
Wow.
Yeah, there you go.
I remember.
Not too many Welsh PCs out there.
No. And there's a store in the UK called Boots. And it's sort of like a CVS, you know.
Is it Boots the Chemist, I believe?
Boots the Chemist, exactly.
Mm. Yeah.
And Boots the Chemist sold the Dragon 32. It was the weirdest. Do you remember at that time, there was always a choice to be made. You get a VHS or you get a Betamax. And then whatever one you chose, the other one, you know, you either chose the right one or the wrong one, but one of them was going to disappear.
Mm.
And all my friends got the ZX 80 or 81, and I got the Dragon 32, and the Dragon 32 disappeared. And there was no games.
Never heard of it.
Nothing. I know. No one had. I'm really shocked that you've heard of that, Clint.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah.
That sort that That came and went.
It was a very brief moment in time that it was even advertised at all. And then what is a fascinating story with that. So the U.S. distributor for them ended up with this massive shipment because Dragon, you know, went out of business and everything. And then there were just tons of them on pallets. And they ended up in a warehouse for 25, 30 years. And there were just unsold, brand new in-box Dragons sitting in a warehouse in California up until around 2012 or so. And they finally started selling them. And I ended up getting one of those, new in box. Nice. And that's how I got my Dragon, was the old stock that just never sold.
Oh, Billy, because, you should get one. Like, see if you can get one. Glenn, as I said, it's my birthday coming up on the 28th of August.
Dragon 32. Yes.
28th of August, by the way, is when we are doing a live Friendship Onion in Toronto. On my birthday.
Mm.
If Clint arrived from North Carolina to Toronto with a Dragon 32 on his back.
Wouldn't that be amazing? Was it, Clint, if you don't mind me saying, was it an expensive system to buy?
I won't listen to this part.
Earmuffs, William. Was it?
It was actually extremely cheap back then because nobody had heard of it and nobody knew what it was. Yeah. I think they've gone up a bit now.
How much would it be
I don't think very much. I actually don't know. I haven't looked in a long time because, I've already got mine, right? So,
what would you say in the history of gaming systems, what would you say would fetch the highest value now if it was in mint condition to sell?
Oh, dear. Probably, if we're talking released systems, because there are some systems that go for almost hundreds and hundreds of thousands, but those are prototype systems like the Nintendo PlayStation and things like that.
Mm.
They had a weird collaboration back in the day where they made a couple of systems and a couple of them eventually found themselves into the way of collectors.
Well, that's
those sell for crazy money, but those were never actually released.
Mm.
So I think currently, probably it would be like a sealed, fully intact Nintendo of some kind, whether it would be an NES or a Nintendo 64 or something seems to be really hot at the moment, but it would have to be, pristine.
In
there's a lot
condition,
of
condition, yeah.
Yeah, when, people when, go when over the Billy finest I, details of those.
I'm trying to think how this happened because I know that Sean and Elijah got one too. I think maybe we visited PlayStation or EA, but we were all given a test PlayStation. Do you remember a test PlayStation?
There were some of those. Yeah, they came in different colors. Sometimes they were black or green or something. So.
And they were kind of chipped so that you didn't have to. You could buy games from all regions and it would play in all regions.
Yeah.
I still have mine. I wonder how much that's worth, a test PlayStation.
I will give you $12 to $15 for that.
Oh, I'll take it.
Okay.
And in terms of...
that would be awesome.
In terms of where because you obviously spend a lot of your time talking about games and gaming systems, where do you think games are going, Clint? Like, if you were to fast forward, 10, 15, 20 years into the future, what can we expect from our games, do you think?
I think I'm somewhat cynical on the whole current gaming situation in terms of the microtransactions and little things that are added to games to make them sort of always online. And, I'm very much a proponent of being able to own what I own and not have it taken away later on if say, the servers go down or something like that. I think there's a lot of that happening right now, and that's unfortunate, but I'm also hopeful as well, to get more and more involved kind of games or just different ways to play my favorite games, So, for instance, I just got a Steam Deck recently, and that thing is wonderful for just reinvigorating the PC games and even console games just on the go. It's just a full-on PC in the palm of your hands.
What's a Steam Deck? Stuff,
Elijah and I were talking about that.
What's
on the
a
plane.
Steam Deck?
You were napping. You had a glass of wine. You were sleeping.
I don't know what a Steam Deck is.
Clint, over to you.
All right. So the Steam Deck is effectively a Linux-based personal computer system. It runs a lot of other things too, but it's what it comes with. Made by the Valve folks in Seattle, in that area. And they got it to where it basically can function as an all-in-one system if you do a little bit of tweaking, but out of the box, it's got a touch screen, controls on the side, a little bit like a Nintendo Switch, but if you had the power of a desktop computer, and the form factor of a Switch. So they've just packed a lot of good stuff in there, and I've just loaded mine up with emulation software so I can play all the classic stuff, you know, Atari, Nintendo, and PlayStation 1, 2, 3 games. It'll play everything pretty much up until the early 2000s. So I've been enjoying, like, you know, my favorite PC games from the 90s and early 2000s, all the way up to, I think, the most recent game I've played on there is Cyberpunk. So it actually plays that.
Wow.
So plays newer stuff and old stuff too for pretty decent price.
Very cool.
We should get that.
Yeah, let's ask him. Steam.
Good people of Steam Seattle, please send us a Steam.
What's it's the Valve. Because Valve had a lot of success making their own video games, right? And then they just thought, you know what, we're actually going to create a system, which is crazy. I mean, one of my favorite kind of hacks in life is getting on a long distance flight.
Right.
And you've looked through the movies and you think, well, I've seen Interstellar 4 or 5 times on the plane.
It's not enough.
It's a great movie. And you don't really want to do anything. And then you pull out your Nintendo Switch.
I said Nintendo Switch.
And then you can play games and everyone else is falling asleep and you can play games. I love that. So maybe we should invest in a little Steam Deck each.
I don't have a Switch to pull out. But is that what it's called?
Switch, Nintendo Switch.
I don't want that one. I like the idea of this one better.
Yeah, okay.
A steampunk.
A Steam Deck, yeah.
A Steam Deck.
Yeah.
I want a Steam Deck.
Cyberpunk on it.
You can only play 3 games for the rest of your life, Clint, on your steampunk deck. What are they?
That's a great question.
This is coming to you, Dom. This is coming to you soon.
Yeah, okay.
All right, so the top 3 would have to be Duke Nukem 3D.
Nice.
MS-DOS. That's up there. Would say The Sims, the original one.
Why not?
The Sims.
Yeah, because that's
the third one. Oh, dear. Let's just say something like, I don't know, Unreal Tournament.
I don't know what's that one.
Yeah, that one, 1999. So it's by Epic Games. They make Fortnite now. But back then, they had these early first-person shooter types. It's sort of an arena shooter along the lines of, a lot of people compared it to Quake 3 back then. I don't even know if there's many games that are even very similar now, that the genre sort of died. But you know, you get like 16 or so players in an arena and you just shoot the crap out of each other. It's a whole deathmatch type of thing and capture the flag and you know, various modes of that. So
online, different, like real people, or you're against the computer?
We mostly played on a LANs back in the day. You know, everybody brought their own computers and just set them up in the basement or wherever. But it was online as well. You can still play it online. It still plays on the Steam Deck even. So,
is it like an early precursor to Fortnite? Were they testing how Fortnite might work, or is it slightly different?
It was on the ladder towards that. They're not terribly related, but it is by the same company at least.
I'll put that in my Steam Deck.
Remember how addicted your son was in Fortnite, and now he just doesn't play it at all, does he?
No, he doesn't play it. In fact, do you know what he just did?
Yeah, go on.
Gaming computer, my son. He just unplugged it all and stuck it in the corner. He's done.
Oh!
What do you think
of
that?
So it goes.
I remember coming over to Billy's house for a while there, but one time in particular in your old house, we sat downstairs with you and your wife chatting, and Jack came in, and he was halfway up the stairs and halfway down, and he was kind of a bit kind of antsy. And Ali said, "You want to go play Fortnite, don't you?" And he went, "Yeah."
Rather than sit and talk to Uncle Dom.
And you went, "Yeah, you can go play Fortnite until dinner." So he went upstairs, played Fortnite. Then we all came down and had dinner. And when dinner was finishing, he did the same thing. He got all fidgety. And you said, "Go on, you can play 3 more with your mates." He was full on into it.
A lot of that time was kind of COVID time as well. So it was the time that he got to chat to his mates and all that. Mm. But he got really good at it. Mm. 3 games, Dom. From any
3
time.
Games, I can't. I have to
computer
pick.
Games.
Oh, because I
this
was going
to
say.
This is a great thing. See, if you ever say to Dom, pick one thing, he'll always give you 4. Mm. So I thought by giving him 3, it's all you're allowed. Don't give me 4 or 5 or 6.
Okay. Doctors and nurses.
No, it's got to be a video
game.
No, what? no touchy games.
It's computer games.
Yeah, it's not kiss, cuddle or torture.
I was going to say, Who's in My Mouth? It's one of my favorite games.
Well.
Okay. 3 games. League of Legends.
Well, absolutely.
Only because of the brotherhood that we've created.
Oh, the joy we've had on there.
League of Legends.
That's two. He said League of Legends twice. Only one.
League of Legends, The Elder Scrolls, Skyrim.
Oh.
And probably FIFA.
Oh, nice.
Well, I do like FIFA. It's classic, man.
That's good. Yeah. Right, ask me.
Do you like FIFA?
No, ask me for my three.
Oh, give us your three favorite computer games. Keep it clean.
I'll need Clint to help me here, actually. The first one.
See, if one of them's not League of Legends.
League of Legends, number one.
Good for you.
Number two, there's a game where you're like the moon lander and you're coming down and you have to land on a little shelf on the moon.
Lunar lander. Yeah.
Lunar lander.
Is it that simple?
Yeah.
And different platforms each level.
Yeah, and little platforms and bigger, and you come down and you have to land it.
Oh, fun.
I would choose that.
Wow.
Just thinking back, the joy I got from that. And then my third one, even though once you've done it, but I'm just thinking the most fun I've had doing it. And this game, I probably, 10p at a time, spent £850,000. 10 pence at a time trying to finish this game, which was a laser disc game, and you were a guy trying to save a princess, and you had to, like, at one point you're on a little river and you have to go down and make left right turns, and then you had to swing across. What was that called?
That was Dragon's Lair. It was a Don Bluth game.
Dragon's Lair. Yeah.
Dragon's Lair. Oh my.
Clint, tremendous knowledge.
Clint, when I tell you that we used to go for a pound shuffle, I would just put my whole pound into that thing.
What, so there was a time where you preferred that to like Gallagher and Centipede and Space Invader?
I mean, you couldn't believe it because it was like you were a cartoon.
People would crowd around that one too because it was such a realistic looking thing. It was like playing a cartoon. And I mean, yeah. It really was. It was wow. The same guy who did, you know, the Fievel movies and, you know, Secret of Nim. It's the same animator.
Oh, I think
so it's, you know, very Disney-esque animation. It was great.
Beautiful.
Very, very hard.
And looking back at it now, it was basically just timing, you know, hit left there, hit right there. But at the time, you felt like you were in a cartoon. You were actually a character in a cartoon. It was amazing.
Mm.
Billy and Dom eat the world.
Well, William, should we eat the world?
Oh, I'd love to.
No, Clint, every week we like to ask our guest if there's a certain type of food or beverage that maybe they have a strong affiliation with, maybe they've grown up with, maybe they've recently found it and they want to tell people about it. And what have you chosen for us this week?
What have you chosen, Clint, and why?
So I have chosen pimento cheese.
Oh.
Why?
And the why is, well, it's just sort of one of those grown up with it. It's a very nostalgic thing, but it's also still used on a massive number of dishes here in North Carolina. So everything from sandwiches as a dip to just whatever. It's sort of an all-encompassing condiment of sorts.
So and now it is a cheese, but it's a cheese with a few other things added to it. Is that right?
Yeah, it can be made a few different ways, but sort of a creamy spread. You know, it has pimento peppers like you'd find in the middle of olives in there. But sometimes people add jalapeno, sometimes not. It's just shredded different cheeses and sometimes it can be a little spicier or not. But yeah, sort of a mayo, cheese, pimento mixture.
So I don't know, Clint, if you've listened to the Friendship Onion, but we have a producer here called Johnny Clues, and he's one of the great, great chefs
of
the world.
Classic chefs.
Classic French, classical chef. And he apparently at home has made us pimento cheese for today.
Mm.
So, John, if you have that cheese at the ready, we would love to taste your cheese, John.
Well, you join us here in the No Expenses Spared set for Billy and Dom Eat the World, where we are enjoying pimento cheese, William, with Clint, our wonderful guest. Hello, Clint.
Hello.
Hiya, Clint. We've just got it here. Smell that.
Yeah, it's okay.
I quite like the smell. It makes me think of a picnic in a nice park somewhere. And I'm wearing my shorts, which I am doing today, Dom.
Yeah, got your legs out.
And I could see me and you on a lovely rug with some pimento cheese, some dry bread, which John has given us for this, and a nice packet of veggie wholesome crispy crackers.
Yes, from Appleways. We're going to open that. Yeah. Also, I'll read a little blurb here about pimento shit. Is it not good?
I don't like that smell. That's like glue.
Oh, it smells like chemicals.
Right, carry on, Tom.
Almost all pimento cheese recipes today call for grated cheddar. I bet it's not real cheddar, which is from the Cheddar Gorge in the north of England. So it's a shame that people call fake cheddar cheddar, because the only cheddar that is cheddar is from the Cheddar Gorge, similar to Champagne, William.
Is that true?
Yeah, from the Champagne Valley in the Champagne region of France.
Tremendous knowledge.
Everything else is a sparkling wine. Anyway.
Carry on.
Almost all pimento cheese recipes today call for a grated cheddar or a similar firm cheese mixed with diced pimento peppers, mayonnaise, and any number of seasonings and special ingredients. Many cooks are quite adamant that you use homemade mayonnaise, while others start with fresh red peppers and roast them themselves. The original version started out as something quite different, the marriage of cream cheese and canned pimentos, two popular and newly available products of the industrial food trade.
So tell us about this, Clint. So as a young man, would your parents or your aunt or someone make this while
or
you...
Or an uncle.
Or an uncle, whoever it might be, maybe make you some of this, you stick it on some dry bread and you get yourself on King Kong.
Mm.
No, what is that called, that game? With the barrels?
Oh, Donkey Kong.
Donkey Kong, now, that's a good game, I know.
Although I could see Clint on a massive gorilla, to be honest.
Yeah. So tell us.
Yeah, no, pretty much all of the above, all the family members, friends, anywhere really that served something for lunch. You know, pimento cheese sandwiches were pretty common, and literally just pimento cheese on a sandwich. Sometimes you would add a meat, sometimes not. Other times it would just be out on the table for Sunday afternoon lunch or something. And yeah, dipped in crackers or topped on top of meats. I rather like it on different types of fish. But yeah,
we've not actually established geographically where you are, have we, Clint? Whereabouts are you in the country?
See, I'm in North Carolina in the U.S. So down in the southeast, used to live in sort of the middle part of the state, the Piedmont area, and then moved over to the western part. I'm up in the Appalachian Mountains now.
I'm sorry, William. I was just going to say where you're from as a child. That's kind of a local delicacy, pimento cheese. Is that right?
Yeah, it's very much known for that. Anytime I've gone or, you know, had friends down to the area, and they see pimento cheese on local menus and on top of sandwiches and different types of dishes, they, everybody just, what is that? Like, why would you put pimentos in? What is this? So it's something I'd never realized that was regional until adulthood.
Well, let me tell you, Clint, it was actually in the 1870s in New York State where farmers started making a soft, unripened cheese modeled after the French Neufchâtel. Within a few decades, at least five New York companies were marketing it as American Neufchâtel. And they soon introduced cream cheese, a variant made by mixing cream of Neufchâtel curd and molding it into blocks and small rectangular wood forms. Though produced primarily in New York, cream cheese somehow became linked with the city of Philadelphia.
Of course.
And the New York-based Phoenix Cheese became the market leader in its Philadelphia brand cream cheese, which was later acquired by the Kraft Cheese Company. Now, that's basically a history of cream cheese.
Lovely reading.
Which sometimes is used in pimento cheese.
Yes,
which...
because in Britain, there is a very famous, probably the most famous cream cheese is simply called Philadelphia.
Philadelphia cream cheese. Mm. Now, did you live near Raleigh?
I lived about 2.5 hours. I'm about 6 hours from there now. But yeah.
All right. Because me and Dom went there once, very close to there, when I had gallstones, of all things, Clint.
Oh, wow.
And yeah. There was a natural physician there that me and Dom went to see. I don't know why Dom went, because he didn't have gallstones.
Well, I'll tell you, William. I went simply because I'm a wonderful, supportive human, and my friend was in physical distress, and I thought, I'll take him down there, and I will go through the same amount of physical distress that he'll go through, even though I didn't have gallstones. So all of the things that Billy had, like hot baths and things being shoved straight up his ass.
Enemas.
Stuff thrown down his throat and stuff in his ears and clay rubbed all over him. I did that too, simply as a show of camaraderie, which is another French word, I think. And I almost passed out, didn't I, at one point?
At one point, Dom had a tobacco enema, of all things, Clint. And it took 20 minutes to get the tobacco up there.
Mm-hmm.
And it took about 3 seconds to get it out. And he went straight to bed. We were supposed to be going to the cinema to see Rear Window, of all things.
Well, I looked at my Rear Window that night and it was a hell of a state.
He couldn't get himself out of bed, could you?
No, I was in hell.
There was no need for him to do it. He didn't have any gallstones.
I just did it for you, William, because, I'm one of those great guys.
And all I wanted was a Gallagher machine. $1,400.
And then eventually Billy had his gallstones taken out. There were two absolute whoppers, about the size of Marifat peas. And I said, you should definitely turn them into earrings for your wife. And you've still not done that yet, have you?
Do you know, one day, but now that you've reminded me how supportive you were that time, I think I'll get them made into little necklaces that me and you could wear.
Yeah.
And then when we're old and we meet in a bar, we'll clink my stones together.
Oh.
And then we'll buy each other a little drink and have a nice sandwich and pimento cheese.
That's lovely. I've also got a pierced ear, as you know, so it works as an earring for me too. Well, should we have a little taste of this? Clint, have you got any at home, or are you just going to watch us eat in a slightly creepy way?
I suppose I'm going to watch. I don't have any in here now.
Okay. Right, well, watch this just thing, watch Clint. You'll enjoy this.
Watch this, Clint. Watch.
Very closely.
Cheesy.
Definitely cheesy. I mean, it sticks, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. It has a similar consistency to, I would say, a damp peanut butter.
It's about right.
It's like it's neither hot nor cold, is it? It's
typically a room temperature sort of spread.
Yeah, and a sort of if I had a dull flavor, quite a dull.
Mm-hmm.
Something
there's
happens.
Not a lot. Yeah, that's why I like having it on other things. You know, very spiced up types of sandwiches or crackers or anything.
It needs. It needs a slice of ham or something. It needs a fish. It needs
slice
a
of ham.
It needs a herring.
Clint, yeah, I don't know if you've seen this phenomenon, Clint, with men. I've seen it, and I really hope that I don't get to this point in my life. But men seem to get to an age where they just think, when I'm eating, I'm going to get most of the food around the sides of my face, and I just won't really care about it. And Billy has reached that point. He didn't used to be like that. When I first met him during Lord of the Rings, he never had stuff all over his face. And now, it's awful. He gets stuff all over his face and just leaves it there. I think you just don't. You don't seem to care anymore.
I missed a piece of my beard today, Clint, and it's went grey, and I keep thinking it's a piece of white something on the bottom of my chin. So I've been rubbing it.
I wish I had a napkin for you, but I don't.
Well, hold on.
Yeah.
Right,
that's good.
Dom.
Right, Dom. Okay. I'm going to have one more bite before we start giving it scores.
Me too. This is very nice of John to make this for us, wasn't it?
Yeah, well done, actually, John. I'm not going to critique it yet, John, but you know me and spice are like a little chili pepper.
It kind of, I don't know why, but it sort of gives me the balk. Makes me feel like I might be sick, Clint.
This might bring down the scores slightly.
Yeah, I can see why.
Are you going to do a little bit of a blurb, Bills? I don't know what else is interesting about this. I mean,
John's given us pages and pages of it here.
I don't know how to with this.
I mean, he's at 2003. I don't know if it's because you do retro gaming. He wanted to do retro history of cheese.
One of the sentences here starts, before World War II. I was like, what is that about cheese?
Well, right here he's went, in 1899, the editors of Boston Cooking School magazine.
Editing, John.
Wait a minute, hold on. In 2003, we got to there was a pimento cheese invitational in Oxford, Mississippi. There was 300 entrants.
My goodness.
Jeez.
Oh, I'll read a little bit here. This is interesting. Pimento cheese has now been transformed into a sort of spicy all-purpose condiment that can add an instant southern touch to just about any dish. Chefs stuff quail with it, tuck it inside of omelets, slather it between two fried green tomatoes. Or make modern pan-southern snacks, creations never seen in the 20th century South. The basic sandwich is still the best way to enjoy pimento cheese today. If you want to get really fancy, slice off the crusts, cut the breads in diagonals, which means you get more bread, I remember I told you, into quarters to create little tiny triangles, stack them high on top of each other, lay them out in a buffet line and watch them disappear. John, that was charming. It really
absolutely
was charming.
So basically, everywhere you go around where you live, Clint, and you went to somebody's for lunch, there was going to be some of this pimento cheese, is there?
Should we get a close-up?
Absolutely.
It looks like vomit.
And would, I mean, we haven't given it its scores yet, but Dom, it's not my favorite thing I've ever eaten.
Well, if it makes you almost vomit every time you try it, I would say yes, definitely drop down in scores. But let's score it, because I think it's a surprising thing, actually. I quite like it. I've had 3 bites.
I've had 4, but every one is activating my gag reflex.
That's been in the fridge,
yeah,
but
I
tell you what.
I think it may be getting worse.
If it was at room temperature, maybe slightly baked in the sun, a little drippy. Let's give it some scores. Flavor and or taste out of 10.
I mean, it's a strange...
Mm-hmm, it's a mysterious taste.
Like, it's not a nice taste, but I go back to it, you know? I feel like a dog licking beetroot.
Mm.
Where you kind of like, oh, I don't like that, but I'll keep coming back to it.
Do we think that it would give you really bad breath?
Oh, definitely give you bad breath.
Right? Yeah.
Like
horrible
breath. A mature kind of charred kind of taste in your mouth.
Yeah, like an old uncle who liked boiled eggs and cigars.
Oh, God, he sounds awful. Is that Uncle Tony? Oh, God. Right,
well, taste. Come on. No, I can only give it a 4. I can only get, because I like cheese, I like peppers, I like cream cheese, and I like John. But whatever.
Well, of course, we like John.
The 4 of them together has just created something truly awful.
Yeah, it's monstrous. Well, okay.
I'll give it a 3. It's dropped to a 3.
Okay, well, I'll give it a 4 then, because I think I like it a little bit more than you. Now, this is where it's in trouble. Aesthetics, the look of the beast. It looks like something that a cat has thrown up in an alleyway.
And John, quite magnificently, has placed it in a green plastic container, which I don't think is helping much.
Have you seen The Exorcist? You know that moment where the little girl goes, I've got a secret to tell you.
What's your secret? What is it?
Well, the secret was, I'm going to vomit all over your face. Right. It looks like that.
Right.
Aesthetics, it's low scores for me. I'm giving it a 1.5.
Yeah, aesthetics, I mean, it's colours that shouldn't be together, is it?
Yeah.
No, I can only give it a 2.7.
And like you said as well, in a green bowl. In a green bowl.
And then usefulness.
Well,
Clint,
this is where it's going to jump up, actually, for me.
Because what could you do with a pimento cheese that you couldn't do with other cheeses? What would you do with it,
it's,
Tom?
It's well, the spreadable nature.
Yes. I mean, you could spread it on anything, really, couldn't you? Meat, fish, salmon. Try it with a cracker.
A dollop and slap it onto anything you need that needs just a little more cheese, a little more
cream. Well, you know what I think would benefit from it is, you know those, are you all right? No, he's not liked it. He spat that out. First time in the show up to now that he's actually spat something out. He's rejected it physically.
The cracker is worse than the cheese.
Yeah, the crackers taste like chemicals, don't they?
It does, doesn't it? It tastes like...
awful.
It tastes like licking an old Xerox machine or something.
Yeah, we don't like that. But, you know, I was thinking with this, what this needs, I think, is a little bit of sharpness or maybe a little vinegar. So maybe those pickled fish, do you know, like gefilte fish or maybe even a boccheroni from...
Bless you.
Thank you. From Spain, that dipped in it might actually help.
Yeah, it needs a zing.
A zing, exactly. I'd like a little bit more chili pepper in there, but that's just a personal thing. Can I take it to a football game in a kind of refrigerated ice pack thing? Probably.
So it's difficult because I'm saying I don't like the flavour. I don't know. I don't think I like how it looks, but I feel as if I could use it in a lot of things.
Yeah, because...
So does it get high score?
Yeah, I think, you have to take each... voting system on its own merits, and versatility has nothing to do with the taste. It's how many ways can you use it. I think it is quite versatile.
Okay then, Tom, I think it's versatile as well. I'm going to have to give it a bad...
Don't let the taste come in. Don't let the fact that you physically chucked it up onto your plate have
8.2.
Good, yeah. I'm going to say about the same. I'll give it a I'll give it an 8 for versatility. It's a low scoring one.
And I feel bad, but, you know, we've got to be an honest podcast, and I don't like to bring down anything that John's done.
Negativity.
And he spent time making that, and I think that's fair. And he could have went out and just bought something from a store, but he made us something. But he made us something shit.
Taters.
So you have to be honest, right, Clint?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I would expect no less.
If I was around North Carolina and I was going to people's houses and that was on the table, I probably wouldn't take much of it. Unless it was with a nice, sharp, vinegary fish.
But imagine you went to like someone's party and it's a hot, summery day and this had been out on the counter for a few hours, and when you went to get it separated, so you've got like a very thin, see-through, viscous liquid kind of just pouring off the bottom of it. I think that's kind of food poisoning hell. Am I making you feel better or worse? Worse? Sorry, Billy.
Sorry.
We should move on. Hey, Clint. Thanks for bringing something so disgusting to the show.
Thank you very much.
Very welcome. My
pleasure. But before we let you go, please let everyone know where they can see your channel and watch you talking about old games and old computer systems, including the Dragon 32. Where can they see that?
And primarily, I am on YouTube, so just search for LGR on there, and you'll find me there. That's where all of my content goes. Otherwise, it's just LGR on Twitter and Facebook and everywhere else. But yeah, YouTube videos, I try to get one of those every week, and it's always something different. So it could be a computer one day, a game the other day, or sometimes I'm just looking at an old answering machine or something like that. So yeah,
it's LGR. Brilliant. It's a brilliant channel, which harkens back to, I think, more simpler days with computers, where instead of it being headsets and mouse mats and, you know, all these kind of newfangled stuff, it's just you, maybe a bag of wine gums, and you just try to shoot an alien craft.
Exactly. Just me and you holding on to each other's joysticks, just going like hell at each other.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Clint, it's been fantastic having you on. Thanks a lot for all of your wonderful tips and advice about how to be a gamer in the 24th century.
Near enough, Tom. Thank you very much, Clint. That was brilliant. We hope to see
you
back in the Friendship Onion soon. All the best, mate.
Thank you.
See you, Clint.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
See ya. Bye.
Well.
There we are, Tom.
No, I was saying, do you feel well after that sandwich?
I don't feel 100%, to be honest.
It's sat around about here. I'm always nervous about foods that don't want to make their way directly to the stomach. They want to sit in the throat, just saying, would you like to bring that back up or would you like to take it downwards? I'd like to take it downwards at this point.
Yeah, it's halfway down. It may as well do the full path and get itself out of there.
It wasn't the greatest, but that's what makes the world go round in terms of Billy and Dom Eat the World. We don't always want to be eating and drinking things that we absolutely love. Sometimes we just want to be eating and drinking curiosities. And with that in mind, at some point in the not too distant future, Billy, we will be drinking a famous liqueur from Chicago called Malort, which I am reliably informed tastes like cat's piss.
We'll be doing that soon. Anyway, that was a good show. That was
a lovely show.
I really took me back to 1983, Cranhill in Glasgow, Scotland. Me sitting there just playing my Atari. I loved it.
It was fantastic to see that little twinkle in your eye when he reminded you of the name. Is it the Dragon 23?
The Dragon 32.
32. Oh, it was backwards.
Yeah. And if you want to get me for my birthday a Galaga machine, I'd love that, Tom.
That's the you, the viewer, not the you, the host.
No, you, Tom.
Oh, that's a shame. Well, listen, thanks a lot for tuning in.
Hey, Dom.
Hey.
I love this new Billy and Dom Eat the World set.
Me too.
I'm loving the new studio.
I love the new studio too.
But it means that we have a new address, so if you want to send us something, the new address is below. Don't send it to the old address. We won't get it.
No, we won't.
So if you've got anything to send, send it to the new address. You'll see it below, wherever it is you're watching.
Show notes.
And we'll see you next week.
It's true.
Toodles. On the Friendship Onion.
Save big money when you start your next project today at Menards.
Convert your current recessed lighting with energy-saving LED downlights from Fight Electric. They're bright and install easily in just minutes. They also go from regular lighting to nightlight mode with just a simple flip of a switch. Save big on all Fight lighting products now at Menards. Shop our lighting options today in-store and on Menards.com. Save